Okay, well now it's my privilege to welcome tonight's speaker. She comes all the way from Springville and Porterville. We wouldn't want to mix her up with that Springville crowd. So I've had the privilege of getting to know Annetta over the last several months, and I'm really excited to hear what she has to say tonight. So please welcome Annetta.
Okay, hello. My name's Annetta. I'm an alcoholic, and I'm from Porterville. Not Springville. It's like being from Porterville or Poplar. I'm from Porterville. You know, my sober date is September 24th of 2000. My home group is the Springville, this is where they get confused, breakfast meeting monthly speaker. It's the second Sunday of each month, and I've done service there for probably about 7 years. I have a sponsor, and she's here, and I sponsor people. I do service. So I had 10 years last September 24th, and so right now I'm going to tell you a little bit about my past. I hate doing this. I didn't want to come here. It said you got to dress up. You only see me from up waist up, so I got jeans and flip-flops on, but a nice shirt. So maybe when I have 20 years, I can come here with a suit or something, but not right now. And I was raised by my father. I wasn't raised in this area. I was raised in a town called Sunnyvale, California, in the Bay Area. My parents got divorced when I was really little. My mom went in a mental institution, and my dad raised three children. I never really bonded with my mother. I bonded with my dad and my brother. I was kind of like a tomboy. When I went to school, I used to fight with the boys, and you know, I look back now, and I just wanted to fit in. I wasn't a girl because I didn't do the girl things. I hated Barbies. I didn't play with anything like that. I fought a lot with boys. My dad got remarried when I was 10 years old. He married a woman, and it pissed me off. And I think that's where my disease really started. I was very violent as a child. I used to stab my sisters and push them down the stairs and just do a lot of mean stuff to them, and because I always wanted attention. But, you know, some stuff happened, and, you know, I don't know. My dad got remarried, and I'm really nervous, so I'm probably going to jump around. So just have patience with me. I moved to Porterville. I moved to Strathmore. Sorry. That's like, wow. When I was 15 years old, and I got married, and I married an alcoholic guy. I loved alcoholic men as a child because I always thought I can fix them. I can make them better. And it didn't make me any better. It made me worse. My first husband used to beat me. But I was okay with that because as a child, I can handle a lot of physical abuse because I can hit back just like a guy. And I've always liked alcoholic men, always. I got married a couple times. I'm not going to really go into a lot of my past because I've learned how to share responsibly. Because I have a sponsor and I have people that I talk to, and you know, I had a lot of inward anger, and I didn't know how I felt, but if I made you feel like crap, I understood how I felt, and then I was satisfied. I moved when I got here to Porterville. I never went to school because I got married when I was 15 years old because I never thought anybody loved me, so I thought my husband would love me like I think. Thought I needed to be loved, and it never happened. Because I was never taught the basic skills of life, how to work, how to become a mother, how to become a lot of stuff. And I was always in abusive relationships. I did some other stuff. I'm not really going to go into it because I respect the traditions and the singleness of purpose and some other stuff. And I used to like to go to bars, and I like to play pool. I don't know, it just, my life just came really insane really quick. I didn't go to any bars until I was 28 years old. I got sober when I was 36 years old. You know, so I've been clean and sober longer than I've ever drank. And when I got busted September 24th of 2000. I used to like to drive and drink and just raise hell. And I got busted up a place called the Transitional House in Springville. And it was way up there in the mountains. And part of my disease was I was paranoid. I thought people were underneath my house. I didn't like anybody. I went through truck driving school, loaded all the time, in Tulare. So I have a Class A driver's license. When I got busted, they never took away my driver's license, ever. At that time, I drove a bus to where I work at now. And I think back now, every person that I had on the bus, it would have been a felony. So I had like 45 clients on the bus, that's 45, you know, felonies. And when I got arrested, nobody would pick me up. None of my friends, nobody. And I finally got this girl to pick me up, and I didn't really like her. So later on down the road, I'll tell you what happened. I ended up knowing this girl. I worked with this girl. I did a drug court program because I was mandated to, you know. And I did that really simple. But they wanted me to get a woman sponsor. And I didn't like women. So when he asked me, will you hug these people? I'm thinking, shit, I didn't come here to hug these people. But that's part of the program. You can't keep what you have by giving it away. So I give people hugs today. But when I came in here, I didn't want people in my personal space at all. I still have problems with people in my personal space, my intimate space. They made me get a sponsor. They made me do some steps. But I did it at the court program so I can go in there and tell the boss what he wanted to hear, and I can still leave. But at that time, there was a judge named Hal Williams. You know, I can say his name because he's passed away. And if you knew that step, he'd let you out of court quick. So we used to go in there, and, you know, we were out like an hour instead of being there for 4 hours. And you know what? At that time, I voluntarily quit my job where I work at because I didn't have insurance, full coverage insurance, and they tested me, and I tested positive for some other stuff, and I was okay with that. So at that time, my ex-husband died of this disease 11 years ago. He had my children back east, and a bunch of stuff happened with that. And my kids finally came out here after he passed away, and my kids got, you know, my kids were 13 and 25, and now they're 25 and 23. In this program I went to, they made you pay every week, and drug tests and alcohol tests and all this other stuff. And so I had to get another job. So I drove a cotton truck in a little town called Joaquina, out in the middle of nowhere. And I did that for 2 seasons. As a tomboy, I liked grease, oil, I liked changing tires, I liked doing everything. And I still like that. Today, I still do a lot of that stuff myself today. But then, you know, they made me keep on doing all this stuff. I said, I can't do all this crap. You know, I got to go to meetings. I got to do groups. I got to talk to this woman. And you know, after I did the 18-month program is when my recovery really started. Because I was responsible for my own actions. I went to a place called one of the providers. I'm not going to say which one. And I asked them, what would it take for me to get my job back? And they said a letter of recommendation. And they said they wouldn't do it. And I got kind of irritated. And I said, you guys are in my business for 18 months. You want to know where I'm at, what I'm doing, and who I'm with. And now, since it's over, you don't want to have nothing to do with me? And I talked them into writing me a letter of recommendation, and I went back to work where I work at. But I had to start at the lower thing. I was a bus aide, and I was a bus driver. And then I got a job in a place, it was a licensed facility, and they wouldn't let me work because I got arrested. And I fought the Department of Social Service, and I won. And... Because why I won, because I kept on doing the program after I got out of it. You know, just because I got out of it didn't mean my recovery stopped. It just continued. I think I worked harder then because I wanted it, you know. And I can work anywhere in the state of California in a licensed facility now. Then I applied for this other job where I work at, and now I do something, I teach other people how to live, and I work with disabled clients, and I explain to them that we all have disabilities. You know, my disease is a disability. Some of us are physical, some of us are emotional, some of us are mental. You know, and I think we're all the same. I don't care. When we're in these rooms, we're alcoholics. When we leave these rooms, we have different responsibilities. And I respect that. You know, today I respect judges. I have a lot of good women in my life. I didn't announce this. I don't like to come up here and talk. So, you know, it's about attraction rather than promotion, so I didn't really promote it very much. But there's people that still came, you know. And I'm grateful. You know, I'm grateful that I have friends. I'm grateful that I have the women in my life. You know, I'm grateful that, you know, I was thinking about the milestones of my recovery. And when I got busted September 24th, I thought it was the worst day of my life. And I look back now and it was probably the best day of my life. You know, and when I got baptized, I was very emotional. For my 10-year birthday, they threw me a birthday party. And I don't think I ever had a birthday party as a child. So I was that little girl, I was 10 years old, and I was having a birthday party. I bawled the whole birthday party. But the good part is my friends were there, my parents were there, my kids were a part of it, my son-in-law was a part of it, and most of all, I was there. You know, a lot of people, they would have parties and the guests of honor wouldn't show up, huh? You know. But they would continue to have the party. And you know, today, you know what, I have a great life. You know, I have great friends. I have friends, it's called Intimacy Standing Up. If you guys don't know what that is, you need to ask questions. You know, I have relationships with my kids. I get to go to work every day. You know, I get to help my father. My dad's have some health issues. And, you know, my dad was raising us, I asked him why he never told us he loved us. Why didn't my dad ever tell me, why didn't you ever hug us? Why didn't you ever give us the things that we needed as a child? And he said, Annetta, I was never taught that. And so it's part of my responsibility to apply what I've learned in these rooms to in my life with my parents. You know, my dad's in a convalescent home. You know, I took him for a walk in his wheelchair the other day, and I felt like I was walking my child around the corner, and I got to do that. I didn't want to do that, but I did it. You know, I took him Frosty and French fries, and I took him ice cream. And, you know, today, you know, I get to do a lot of things. And, you know, I've been in a couple of relationships in recovery. If you get in a relationship, you'll find a lot of your character defects. You know what? I hit a emotional bottom. I've never been in love with anybody until I got in recovery. And if I wasn't in recovery, I probably would have never survived. Because my first thought is, I'm not going to hurt me. Homicide? Yeah. I go to jail. You know, that's no problem. I'm not going to hurt me. Homicide, suicide. And today, you know, I don't want to hurt anybody because I really have to watch what I say and how I say it to people. Because what you hear could be something different. You know, we were at the beach because we go to the beach a lot with some people and we go to some meetings over there. And this lady said, or man, he said, does it need to be said? Does it need to be said by me? And does it need to be said by me right now? And basically this is to keep my mouth shut most of the time. So basically, I do that, and I apply that at my work. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine on the way over here, and we were talking about what I do for a living. It's like when I first came in here, they gave me the installation of hope, you know, that I want my life better. So I kind of have that gift. We all have gifts in here. You just need to look inside of you, yourself, because we're all there. We're all a gift. We woke up this morning, we're a gift. It's like a present. It's how we use that gift every day. And, you know, I have some client where I work out, you know, they want to do better, and I like for them to do better. And I think that's part of us being in this program, to teach other people in different areas of our life that life can get better. You know, I sponsored a few people that are still here, and I sponsored people that relapsed. And you know what? It's today. You know, my daughter called me today, and she was freaking out. And I told her, you know, just look at it for today. Because I can't say that I'm never going to do anything. It's like I'm never going to get angry. I'm going to get pissed off. People are put in my life to show me how really sick I am. You know, I get paid 8 hours an hour or 8 hours a day to be nice, kind, respectful. But my head is saying something else. My mouth reacts differently. Today, you know, I have a higher power, and he tells me no a lot. You know, I got a couple kids that love me unconditionally. And I always ask them, do you ever remember bad things about me? You know, and they really didn't say anything. And, you know, the things that they remember now is my cooking. You know, I love my children. I love my parents. I didn't come in here looking for a man because I knew men were really sick. And I didn't come in here looking for a woman. I didn't, you know, I really don't know why I came in here. But the first year, I didn't hear anything. I just kept on coming. And I kept on, come back. You know what? Screw you people. And, you know, I would go home and they would say, well, you're in that cult. And I said, what? You know, that cult. And I'm thinking, whatever. And today, you know what? I used to say I really didn't care what other people think of me. I really don't, because I can't change the way people think, but I can change the way I react. And that's about changing our old ideals. You know, we have a guy that, you know, I sit down and I do some step work on, and it was all about me. I was pissed off by the time we were done, so I thought it was all about her. And it was all about me and how I expect people to treat me and what she was doing wrong, and I was doing some of that stuff wrong. You know, today I do service. You know, I was the secretary of the speaker of breakfast for a year. I did not like it. I asked my sponsor, can I quit? She goes, no, you got to do it till you like it. Thinking shit. Because then, as a hostess, you have to be nice and kind all the time. I'm just a waitress. You're going to get your food and that's all. And I've been doing that for about 7 years. And I enjoy it. You know, I go to the sober bike runs. And I'll get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I'll go do what I have to do. You know, I was thinking about a while ago, I never went to school. You know, I had to go back and get a GED because that's part of the program. But this is, you know, I've been sober for 10 years. I've been working where I work at for 9 years. My work takes my inventory once a year. And they don't really have nothing bad to say about me. And that's changed because without the program, you know, people ask me, why do you still go? And I tell them really what I'm thinking. Because my first thought is perverted, off, morbid. It's just not there. It's really just not. You know, my friends know me and they love me no matter what. I have problems being around people for a long, like, when we go to the beach for 2 to 3, 4 days. The third day, I was like, leave me the hell alone. Because I'm used to being by myself, you know. But today, you know, I enjoy laughing. I enjoy being around women. I mean, hanging out with them, having fun. You know, we laugh. You know, on New Year's Eve, it was kind of cool. I had 5 girls in my house. And we were putting on makeup. And you know, Edna, I knew her when she was really young, and we used to party together, and we were in the bathroom doing each other's hair, and I said, do you ever think we would be doing this instead of what we used to do in the bathroom? And no, I would never let women in my house. I never let people in my house. You know, there would be a time limit. There's still a time limit, you know. In and out, and you're gone, or I'm leaving. I don't care. You stay here, I'm leaving. But the best part is, you know, My kids are 25 and 23, and my kids can be around anybody, any of my friends, and they know that I'm safe. You know, wherever I go, I still keep little secrets. I'm not going to really go into details because I have a sponsor and I have some friends that, you know really how sick I really am. And but I tell them sooner or later because I either grow through pain or love. And I'm still really confused about both of them. Because when I fell in love, it caused me a lot of freaking pain. And my favorite song was Love Hurts. I'm sorry, from Nazareth. That is my favorite song in the world. But today, you know what? I love people. And it's not loving in a physical way. It's loving in a God's way. You know, I work with a blind girl, and she makes me really accept people for who they are. Accept people for where they're at. Where they're at right now. Because if you look at your feet, that's where you're at right now. You're not down the street. We're not all over there at El Presidente. The only time I was over there and I was sober and I'm thinking, hell, I was the only girl in there with underwear on, and I'm thinking, oh my God. I mean, and I'm thinking, you know what, and I don't go to bars. You know, that was a long time ago, and you know, and you know, I just got a phone call that one of our friends relapsed, and you know, why do we have this gift? Why do I get to stay sober today? I don't know. You know, because I deal with my emotions. I'm emotionally immature. If you don't give me what I want, I'm going to make you pay. Yeah. And it's not like I'm not going to talk to you. I'm not going to, you know, it's immaturity. You know, I'm very immature, but I'm maturing. Because the people around me say, Netta, pull your head out of where a dark place and come down to earth. And you know what? The hardest thing is to stay sober. You know, it's really hard because my brain will say, you can drink like a lady. I was never a lady, you know. I, you know. But I became a lady in the program. And it's by doing the program, you know, suiting up and showing up, just coming here. You know, we came from Portugal. We went and ate because we like to eat now. You know, we like to eat. We like to sleep. We like to do a lot of stuff. And, you know, I never went on vacation because I was always too scared. You know, I'd go to Pismo and drive there for 3 hours and let my kids play in the water for 5 minutes and leave. Oh. You know, my kids still haven't made it to Pismo yet, but, you know. But, you know, I was just thinking about, I have a great life, you know. I haven't been pulled over. I got pulled over by a couple times for a courtesy check. Because you don't think that you affect other people's lives. But in what I do for a living, I explain to him what you guys do in your personal life affects me. Because if you're in doing, you know, illegal stuff and, you know, gangs and stuff, it affects me. So if I get pulled over and I'm not drinking and I'm not doing anything else, they'll let me go. And it's happened a few times. So, you know, I really have to watch what I'm doing, who I'm with, and how I speak. Because, you know, I don't know. I just have a great life. And, you know, I can't really talk for as long as they want me to. And, you know, I just have a great life. I don't know what else to say. I have a higher power. You know, when I got baptized, it was like, I was in bondage, and I'm still in bondage. You know, we were talking on the way over here. When that relationship made me revert a little bit, because I opened my heart, and I was something called vulnerable, and I've never been vulnerable ever in my entire life. And I kind of like shut down on that part of my little heart. So I'm kind of like a little bit colder and a little bit insensitive to the male gender. And I know I have to do work. You know, I know I have to sit down and do a fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, and see what's going on with me. And, you know, and I know I'm really sick. And you know, I have people in my life that tell me what I need to hear. And I can't lie to you, but when I look in the mirror, my disease will lie to me. And that's why I need the people around me. And when I was going through that emotional stuff, I stopped eating. I lost 25 pounds in 2 months. I couldn't work, and I, stayed in my house. And I literally had people coming to my house, knocking on my door. And then I had to go to the doctor, and the doctor told me that we have to fix you. And I said, yeah, we need to fix me, or I know what to make me feel better. Instead of doing what my head was telling me, I did what my heart did, and I went to the doctors, and they had to put me on some antidepressants, and I never thought I was going to be on antidepressants, because I'm kind of hyper, so it kind of like makes me mellow, and I didn't like it. So I was on it for about a year, and I survived. You know, I'm a survivor of a relationship, Alcoholics Anonymous, and that's a big thing for me. But you know what, I was in one relationship, and we're still really good friends. You know, this program teaches me about relationships. And a lot of, you know, we were talking on the way over here, too, that a lot of people go back out because of relationships. And today, you know what, just for today, you know what, I'm going to be okay for no matter what happens. You know, my dad's going to pass away pretty soon, and I know it. So I've been spending time with him, even though I don't want to. Because it's easier for me to do service in this program than do service for my family. But it's getting better. You know, I have contact with my stepmother. You know, I have contact with my dad. And, you know, my brother got pulled over for a DUI the other day. And, you know, I'm just grateful that I don't have to do that. You know, my parents know that I'm going to be there no matter what. If they need me, I'll go there. You know, to talk to the... You know, I have a lot of knowledge, but I don't use it. Because if I'm too smart, I'm not going to stay here. You know, it's a simple program, you know, for complicated people. You know, all you have to do is not drink. And this suggests, you know, if you want to get better, do the steps, do the traditions. You know, we do a big book study every Saturday morning. We've been doing it for a long time, and we do it constantly. And you know what? I can hear things, but I'm not listening to you. But when it's ready for God for me to tell them, you know, I'll hear you. And I was talking about that blind girl. I asked her if she ever cares what I look like or what color my hair is. I forget she doesn't know color, so I kind of forgot about that. And as long as we close our eyes and we look at situations, but when we open our eyes, we judge people. We judge people, places, and things. And so when I go to work every day, I probably get more out of doing my job than I do, than they do. I love what I do. I don't always like what I do, but I love what I do. I've been late a few times. Never been written up. I still get drug tested. I still have a Class A driver's license. I'm DOT through my work. You know, today I'm just grateful that I get to come here. You know, they always call me the get girl because I always get to do this. We get to have problems because the solutions are within each other's. You know, talking from one person to another. I don't really know what God looks like, but I know what he feels like. And it's about having those spiritual awakenings. Love was never in my vocabulary. You know, I used to like anger, fear, pain, you know what? And now I don't really have that. You know, I have a lot of calm. You know, my happiness may not be your happiness. My serenity is not your serenity. My happiness, my friends bring me joy. It's kind of weird, you know, because sometimes I'm not the nicest person to be around. But on the other side, sometimes they're not the nicest person to be around. So, you know, today I'm just grateful I'm done. And he said, you know, my birthday is September 24th. And he said, well, you're going to have to speak on your birthday. I'm thinking, huh? You know, my head's going, I want to. And but it's not if I want to. I have to. Because I get to stay sober another day. And this disease is very powerful and cunning and baffling. It will say, you know what? Go have one drink. Nobody will ever know. If I start drinking, I'm in my house. I'm not talking to people. I'm not going to work. I'm not doing a lot of things. And so as long as I stay around my friends and in the meetings, I'll say sober. You know, I don't know what's gonna, I don't know what would take me back out. Somebody asked me, what would you take you back? I don't know. You know, my daughter's been in some stuff that I really felt bad for her, and there's nothing I can do. And my friends have allowed me to do some stuff in my life, and they allowed me to get hurt. But sometimes people are hurt for a reason, to make them heal. I can't change the way somebody else feels, and sometimes I'm not going to, because it's their process and not my process. And, you know, if you're new in the program, welcome. You know, I give you girls a lot of credit because I can't live with myself. There is no way I can live with a bunch of women. I'm thinking, oh, my God, I could never. I mean, I'm in the beach house with, I freaking, the girls want to sleep in my bed. I'm thinking, should I sleep on the floor? And it's really hard, you know. But today, you know what, I've learned how to become a productive member of society. You know, I have a good job. I have a higher power that I have a really good relationship. It's a man, so I can do that. You know, I do have a relationship with a guy. You know, he's upstairs, and he's pretty cool, and I'm just grateful. You know, I'm grateful I have the women, my sponsor, you know, my friends, Bob, Bill, sorry, I'm wrong. That's all right. Well, Springville, Porterville, we're okay. No, we're okay. You know, somebody told me a long time ago I was cynical. I didn't know what it meant. But I am. So, you know, if you're new in the program, welcome. Visitors, welcome. The guy with 4 years, wow. You know what? It's big. You know what? Sometimes I'm just amazed. When I hit my 10-year mark, I never thought I would. 10 years is a long time. But 10 years went by like it was 2 years. You know, once I got started working and doing all this stuff and... You know, and so, you know, I'm just grateful I'm here, and thank you for allowing me to share this all.
Netta has a few minutes left. We'll entertain some questions. If you have questions, please just raise your hand.
I don't know what the
spirit
means. Can you
put it down? Yes, you do. Look in the mirror. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry. Sarcasm, rudeness. You know, is that what it meant? Yeah, they gave me a dictionary. Cheryl gave me a dictionary. Said, look it up. So I didn't know what it meant, so I looked it up. And, you know, sometimes I'm rude, I'm cynical, I'm not caring, just... Sorry. I apologize. Sorry. I know you will. Okay. I guess no. Go ahead.
Whatever happened with your friend that you didn't like that ended up being the one picking you up?
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, well, I'm sorry. My brain goes crazy. I go to a bunch of people to Springville Bull-O-Rama every year in Springville where we get to watch Cowboys ride these bulls. And, I looked over and there was this young guy. He was fighting with the cops. And he recognized me. And it was my friend's son, Armando Dog. And I gave him a ride home. And it ended up being the girl that picked me up from jail, her son. And so years ago, I still see her. I work with her now. I took him home, and I told her, thank you for picking me up. And I took her son home. So he didn't end up in jail that night. But he wouldn't listen to anybody else. But, you know, it's like when you see somebody in town or on the phone or something, you just need to hear that person's voice, and it's comforting. And Armando heard my voice, and he recognized my voice from the past, and he knew he was safe. So I put him in my back seat, and I gave him home, right home. So and that's how I got to make my amends to her. So. Catherine? Oh, I'm sorry. The lady, she's the first meeting. You know what? Just keep on coming back, because you're going to connect with somebody, And, you know, there's a lot of good women, and I didn't trust women because I couldn't give somebody something that I didn't have myself. So I had to be around somebody that loved me, that trusted me, that had compassion and understood me. Because a lot of people don't understand me still. They think I'm weird. I don't care. You know, I don't care. Because I know I'm sick and I'm getting better. You know, and just keep on coming back and connect with the women and do, you know, I can't say do the steps because I just come here for a year. You know, just do something. Do, you know, the good thing that I did was service work. I did service work because I met people I didn't really want to meet in the beginning because they're like, do this. Like, God, they're controlling people. Then I ended up like freaking self-centered, codependent. And I ended up being very self-centered once I got here because I was one of those people, you need to do this. The service work was probably one of the best things that I did. So. Charms.
Yeah, what do you think you got?
You need to look through everybody through God's eyes and not your own eyes.
Hey, how does somebody find that service work you talked about?
Anybody in service here? Raise your hand. Ask them. Cynical again, sorry. And that's one of the gifts of recovery. When you get to see Kelly get 10 minutes up clean.
Right.
So.
All right.
So that's all.